All right, Herb, tell everybody about yourself and about ConsumerMan.com.
Well, I've been covering the consumer beat for a long time. We'll just leave it at that. And I live in Seattle and write for NBCNews.com. I'm also on the radio out here in Seattle. And my goal in life is to make people smart, because if you're smarter, you get better deals and you don't fall for the bad guys.
That's right. And if you guys have questions or comments, Herb is here. He'll be gladly. Herb, you'll help him out, right?
Absolutely.
All right. 312-981-7200. Talk and text. Before we get to the consumer stuff, I understand that, you know, we just lost Glenn Campbell last week.
Yes.
A massive loss to the world of music. And as we all know, that he struggled with Alzheimer's for many years. And you did, in fact, a couple of years ago, interview Glenn Campbell's daughter. How was that?
His wife and his daughter.
Oh, his wife and his daughter.
It was following, he had come to town on his farewell tour. And we went to the Paramount Theater here in Seattle to see that. I love Glenn Campbell. Yeah. I thought he never got the respect he deserved for being an incredible musician.
I agree.
And songwriter and entertainer. And I do a lot of work for the Alzheimer's Association out here. My grandmother had Alzheimer's. Her sister had Alzheimer's. My great aunt. My mother had Alzheimer's and passed away from it. Her sister had Alzheimer's. My neighbor passed away from Alzheimer's, and a person across the street has it. So I spent a lot of time with people with Alzheimer's.
And Herb, don't you think almost everybody is in some way has been touched by this?
I don't believe there's a family in America that hasn't been touched by it in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so I just wanted to see his farewell tour, and it was amazing to me because he had a teleprompter there just in case there was a problem. He explained to everybody before he went on tour what was going on, because he didn't want people to think he was drunk or on drugs or something.
Yeah.
And every once in a while he had to look down at the teleprompter to catch a lyric. But when he started picking the banjo and the guitar, just walked around the stage, it was hardwired. And his fingers were flying on that banjo.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable.
And I think,
his daughter were nice enough to come in and talk to me all about that. And they're trying to get the word out, you know, about Alzheimer's to everybody.
Last week when he passed away and everybody was posting, you know, as they do, tributes to the people who pass away, you know, with clips of their performances and things like that.
Right.
I think a lot of people maybe didn't realize what an unbelievable guitar player he was.
Like, oh, unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And he was with a group called The Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
They were the ones who were in the studio recording all the records for everybody, because it took, you know, you'd bring in the Kinks or the Yardbirds or somebody, and it would take 32 passes to get the takes to get it right. So they could play it, of course, but these guys knocked it out of one or two takes. They could crank out a whole bunch of records in one day.
Yeah.
He was a member of the Beach Boys for a while, and Brian Wilson kept himself in his room. Just absolutely phenomenal. I have a story with the L.A. Times music critic about the last album he put out that just came out recently.
Yeah.
And the last song on it is called Adios. I mean, he knew this was the end. And when he sings that Adios, and you know he's saying Adios, I'm getting goosebumps now to think about it. But I'm going to send that to Dan, the link, and if people want to listen to it, it's a lot of the cuts from that last album that it took them an eternity to put together, because he was far into the Alzheimer's, and literally sometimes they had to get a couple of words at a time that they edited together to make the song work. But it is a spectacular album.
Oh, wow. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, we would love to
send
have
it off
link.
To Dan when we have a commercial break.
Okay. Oh, we're going to take a break right now, Herb.
I think I said that. Okay, great.
Yeah, okay,
great. See, I do radio, too.
You do radio, yes. Herb, hang on, okay?
All right,
the great Herb Weisbaum is with us, our consumer man, and consumerman.com. We'll tell you about how you can get his newsletter. We got some news stories to talk about, and your questions and concerns, 312-981-7200. Galveston, oh, Galveston, I still hear your sea waves crashing. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday is coming up. All of our regular features, You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and much more. We're also going to hear some weird stories from night owls who have seen very strange things in the middle of the night. And maybe we'll take a few calls from you on some of the weirdest things you've seen while everybody else is asleep. Herb Weisbaum is now with us. He is an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can check him out at his website, consumerman.com, and Herb joins us once a month. Welcome back, Herb.
Hello there.
Hello.
The Jimmy Webb hit.
Yes. Well, my favorite Glenn Campbell song and one of my favorite songs of all time is another Jimmy Webb song, and it's Wichita Lineman.
Well, he came in to see me a couple of weeks ago, and he was in Seattle. And so he wrote the first hit for Glenn. I think it was By the Time I Get to Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then Glenn said, write me another city song. That's how he said it.
Yeah.
I believe that was Galveston. And then he said, write me a third city song. And he said, I'm out of cities. Can we do counties? Wichita Lineman.
That's great. It's such a beautiful song. I mean, they're all great songs. Jimmy Webb, one of the greatest songwriters that's ever lived, ever.
Absolutely. And a phenomenal guy,
If you were to list all the, you know, so many of the songs that Jimmy Webb has written, it's astonishing.
You know, he started with The Worst That Could Happen, Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Man, oh, man. And he, you know,
Arthur Park, and he wrote the first hit for Artie Garfunkel when he went out on his own.
Yeah, he's an amazing songwriter. He and another guy that are sort of like a lot of people don't really kind of know the impact that they've made. Another guy is Paul Williams, who has written some of the greatest songs of all. People know Paul Williams, you know, from like Match Game and all the goofy stuff he did in the 70s and Smokey and the Bandit.
The Griffin Show.
Yeah, and Smokey and the Bandit and stuff. But, like, that guy's one of the greatest songwriters that's ever lived.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. All right, we could talk music all night, Herb, but we want to help.
We'll do another show on that sometime. You know, claim it.
Absolutely. Tell everybody about ConsumerMan.com and how they can get your newsletter.
Sure. It's just a place where I put all the stories I do for NBC News. It's got a lot of resources there, too. ConsumerMan.com. If you go on there, you can sign up for the newsletter. You'll get what I do every week. No, I don't share, sell, or whatever the mailing list. It's all there for you. And it's just a way to keep up on what's going on.
Can you give us a – wow, I think we got a weird connection. Yeah. We're gonna Herb, I think we're going to have to take a break. We got a break here for the news anyway.
Okay.
But I got a weird echo thing bouncing back. So hang on a second, okay?
All right.
All right. Herb is with us. We're having a little technical phone problem here. But Herb will help you out. We're going to take a quick break here, a little earlier break than we were going to for the news. But again, if you want to get in here, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And if you have a question for Herb or a concern, you want to learn something about how not to be scammed, any consumer-related concern or question, Herb is here to help you out. Again, talk or text right now, 312-981-7200. We'll get that phone problem fixed. We got the news coming up, and then we'll more with Herb and your questions and consumer news right here on 720 WGN. Glenn Campbell, we're back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Welcome back to the show. Herb Weisbaum is with us, Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, and you can read his stories, many of the stories of which we're going to talk about this morning, and subscribe to his newsletter at ConsumerMan.com. And Herb, welcome back.
Can you hear me now?
I can. We had a little difficulty there. I was getting a weird feedback echo thing on my end. So.
Happens all the time. You sound clean to me, but it's modern telephone technology.
That's exactly right. It's only 2017. So, all right, Herb, obviously, the first story that I want to talk about is the one that you worked on most recently, and it concerns fake checks that are used for a variety of scams. I found this story to be kind of fascinating as to, first of all, who the main, you know, like, who is most susceptible. The 18 to 24 year old men, which I find interesting, but also the kind of variety of ways that they're using fake checks. Tell everybody about this.
This is a scam that I think I first reported on about 10 years ago, but it's really, really making a big comeback now. The Better Business Bureau has this tool called Scam Tracker, and it keeps track of all the scams in the country. And this was listed as number two in their study that just came out. And while the average scam, a person loses about $275, with a fake check scam, it's almost $1,500. And I've talked to people who've lost $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. So this is a really very costly scam. Basically, with today's modern technology, you can make a check look like a real check even when it's a counterfeit. So good that even bank tellers can't tell whether it's a counterfeit check or not. So what happens is the fraudster sends you this check, and there's usually a reason for it. I'll give you a mystery shopper is a very big one.
Yeah.
Sign up to be a mystery shopper. You're going to be a mystery shopper. We send you a check, and then you're told to take the check, deposit it in the bank. When the check quote-unquote clears, meaning it shows up in your account, or in some cases you'll be able to take the money out right away, you're supposed to take the money out. So I send Nick DiGilio $1,000 to be a mystery shopper. You take the $1,000 out, and I tell you, Nick, you keep $100 for your time, and I want you to take that and divide it to 300, 300, and 300, and go to three different wire transfer services and wire the money off to these different places. And here's a check sheet, and we want you to rate the service. Were they courteous? Were they thoughtful? Did you have to wait a long time, et cetera, et cetera? You keep the $100. This is your first assignment. If all goes well, we'll give you more work. Right. Here's what people don't understand. Just because that shows up in your checking account, or just because the teller gives you that $1,000 in this case we're talking about, does not mean the check is good. The bank is basically giving you a loan, a no-interest loan, assuming the check is good, and that check is your collateral. Well, when the check goes to the check processing system, and despite today's modern technology, it can take a couple of days or a couple of weeks for it to go through the Federal Reserve System and show up as a bogus check. Once that turns up to be bogus, they come back to you, Nick DiGilio, the account holder, and say, sorry to tell you this, but that bogus check was for $1,000. It's no good. So your account just got debited $1,000, like it or not. And you can argue and tell them you were scammed, and they'll say, but it was your check. You deposited the check, and you're out $1,000. So you'll lose the money, and in some cases, you can have a whole bunch of overdraft fees and penalty fees and et cetera, et cetera. The bad guys are long gone. The money was wired off someplace where anybody could pick it up, and there you have it. And the storyline varies. It can be, I've talked to people, it was a work-at-home thing. You've been accepted for a work-at-home job. Here's a check for $1,000. Keep $100 to get yourself started for your first week's pay, and then wire the rest to this account, and they're going to send you all the equipment you need for your office supplies. But the storyline changes, but the bottom line is get a check, deposit it in your account, take the money, and wire it someplace. I can't think of one legitimate business opportunity scenario where you would have to do that, not a single one. So if you ever get that situation, run as quickly as you can because it's a scam.
Hmm. I think a lot of people just think, as you said, Herb, a lot of people think, well, once they get the money or the check, quote unquote, clears or shows up in your account, that everything is okay.
Correct. And people don't understand the banking system. The feds passed rules a number of years ago that made the banks very quickly give you the credit for that check because they were holding them up for a long, long time. That upset people. So now they give you credit for the check unless it's so obviously a problem or for certain reasons they can stop the money going into your account for up to 10 days if they suspect something erroneous. But in most cases, they don't. But the understanding is that if that check's bad, you're going to be the one who loses it out of your checking account. So the money's long gone. You got snookered, and there's basically nothing you can do about it. And I've told you, I mean, several thousands of dollars from people who are looking for a job, making ends meet. They're taking food out of these people's mouths, and yet they can't be caught in many cases because it's too hard to track them down.
So. The stories that you have here, the people that you have here, some of whom didn't want to give their last names, a couple of whom who didn't want to give their last names. Their stories are just kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah, and one mother said to me, I was trying to feed my kid. I have a 3-year-old baby. I'm a single mom, and I thought this was my opportunity to make a little bit of extra money, and, you know, they literally took the food out of my kid's mouth. And so not only did I not get a job, but I lost money in the long run, and it's terrible. And the bank can't help you or won't help you in most cases because it's not their problem. It's your problem. So, again, the stories vary. People use fake checks to buy things. When you sell something on Craigslist, I've seen people use fake checks to buy cars. I wrote the check for too much. I'm sorry. Why don't you just, like, that's the payment for the car, and then why don't you just wire me back the rest of the money or whatever.
Yeah.
The scenario is check deposited, wire me back money. Sorry, not gone there. There's no reason why you should ever have to do such a thing.
Is there? Are they working on a way for the banks to with technology or anything to work on a way to recognize these checks a little bit quicker?
Not from. I talked to the bankers from my story, and I don't believe so. They say they're trying to educate people. Some tellers, and they're having a few good stories where the tellers will ask questions and stop the transaction. Say to the person, "Do you really know who this check is from? Do you really know what's going on?" A lot of times, they make it out to be a cashier's check, and people go, "Oh, cashier's check. That must be good." Not if it's a bogus cashier's check. Mm. It's not good. I think there's a problem with the terminology, and I told the bankers, I think the problem is caused because you say to somebody the check has cleared, and they think it means it's good, and there needs to be a way to somehow flag it or something and say that the money's in the account, but it's not valid yet or something. But I don't know that we're ever going to go down that path, but people just need to realize that just because it shows up in your account does not mean it couldn't be pulled out later, and just be careful of that scenario. Just don't fall for somebody sending you that check and saying they need some money back in some way, shape, or form.
Now, there was a day that I recall where if you deposited a check in your account, you couldn't take you couldn't take it out for a while.
Right, and that's when they changed the rules because so many people were so upset about the fact that that was going on. So I don't know if it was a federal regulator or a Congress passed a law. I think it was part of a law that Congress passed that basically said in most cases they do it in 2 days or something. something like that. They need to speed it up unless they have a really, really good reason. And the con artists know about this, and that's given this window of opportunity for the fraudsters. And that's why they always rush you. You got to do it. The check's going to come tomorrow. Yeah. Sometimes they FedEx the check. What's a small fee for a, and that looks really official. Wow, I'm sure. A mystery shopper, and they FedExed me the check. And they're making a big. They're getting $900, $1,000 from you. That's nothing to FedEx a check to you, make it look really good.
Yeah. And you say here at the end of the piece here, the Federal Trade Commission has information on fake check scams.
Yeah, you can go to their website and just put in, it's at the bottom of my story, and they'll just run down, give you more details about how these fake check scams work. And again, don't trust the way it looks. These things look good. They have signatures. They have holograms. They have logos. They have watermarks. It doesn't matter. A fake can look totally legitimate, and it still can be a fake. It's whether it's a real check backed up by any money in a bank account.
And in general, the Better Business Bureau does have 10 steps to avoid scams. People can check that out as well.
Yeah, both of those tips are as part of this article. But again, if you just follow that one thing I told you, that's the rule to live your life by. These people go, oh, I just should have known. But the bank didn't tell me. The bank may not tell you. So I'm the guy telling you.
Okay. All right.
Curve on this one.
Yep. 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text. If you have any concerns or questions, consumer related, Herb is here. And by the way, Herb, your newsletter is free.
Absolutely.
And people can subscribe. All right.
Absolutely. And I don't share or sell any of the information.
All right. Great. Let's talk a little bit about this online scam now for tax preparers.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we've all heard about all the tax fraud that's going on with them stealing our individual situations.
Yeah.
Well, who's got the pot of gold? Why do they rob banks? Because that's where all the money's at. They're going after the tax preparers because they're the ones that have all the personal information that let the bad guys commit all kinds of identity fraud.
Yeah.
So a big alert was just put out by the IRS recently to tax preparers all across the country. This is the time of year when they tend to update their software, and they're also busy as can be. It doesn't seem like it for people who file an extension, and they have till October 15th to get all that paperwork out the door. So it's another very busy time for tax preparers, and they get an email that looks all the world like it's realistic from what appears to be their software provider that tells them that they have to update. It's ready for the update of the software, and if they click on and give the information, they've now given the identity thieves, the crooks, the access to all the files that are in their computer system. And, Nick, when you think about it, they probably have more information on us than any one single government agency.
Yeah.
They have your tax return, many years' tax returns, all the supporting documents, your Social Security number, your name, address, your birth date. In some states, they have to keep driver's licenses. They're required to do that. It's all one-stop shopping for an identity thief who can not only commit tax fraud, file a false return against you, but they can also use it for all kinds of other identity theft to get credit cards in your name, open bank accounts in your name, take out loans in your name, medical service in your name. So that's why the feds are really trying to warn tax preparers to be careful. They've seen a real spike in these phishing emails being sent to tax providers to try to have them give out their personal information.
It's scary. I mean, I've been going to the same guy for 20 years, Herb, and
yep.
So that's 20 years worth of tax returns that this guy has, and that's scary.
Remember the rule, and we talk about this every time, that it affects consumers, it affects taxes, everybody. You don't click on a link. If it's really time for the update for the software, go to your tax provider and click on the link and update the software. You never know where that link in an email is taking you. I mean, that's just the world we live in today. You got to follow that rule.
Have there been CPAs who have been had? Are there a lot of them out there?
The IRS did not say anything about that, but they certainly said they've seen an uptick. I mean, this is not like a warning based on we would like to, be proactive. They actually said they've seen an uptick in these emails, and they even published a few of them. With my story, there's a picture of one of them that they used. It's called Don't Take the Bait is the campaign they've launched right now. They're also emails coming out where they're actually trying to take over their entire account, and they pretend it looks for all the world like it's an email from the IRS. And if you click on the link, if a tax provider clicks on the link, they go to a site that looks exactly like the logon for the IRS and exactly like the IRS website. These guys plan these things out. They work really hard. They make their bogus sites look really, really realistic, and then they just reel in all the information. Oh. And not to mention, by the way, Nick, they're still after the individuals because they'll be happy to steal your file, too, if you're careless. And I have some tips in the bottom of the article that run down that for people. But this is really the pot of gold, and it's something that you have no – you have nothing you can do about it. It's up to your tax preparer
being right.
smart enough to know what to do. We trust them, and they've got to be really alert to this situation. So if anybody's listening that prepares taxes, please read this article and know about this. I'll link you to all the alerts that's in here because you really have to be careful with this stuff.
I'm calling my guy in the morning, Herb.
Good. Okay. Hey, Manny, check this out. Read what Herb had to say.
All right, Herb, hang on, all right?
All right.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He joins us once a month, and he's here to answer all of your consumer concerns. He doesn't want you to get scammed. He wants you to be smart and happy. And you can check him out at consumerman.com and subscribe to his newsletter. It's free. And by the way, these articles that we're talking about are up on consumerman.com right now with links the fake checks that you can see those, some of those, and all that other stuff that we're talking about, all available at consumerman.com. All right, we'll take a break. We got more stories to talk about. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200.
And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. A little more Glenn Campbell for you. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. After 3 o'clock, we're going to talk about some weird stuff that people have seen in the middle of the night. While everybody's asleep, some people have witnessed some weirdness. And we would love to hear from you if that's the case. 312-981-7200. All of our regular features will happen. We got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. That'll all lead into a funky Friday morning. We do it every week, Fly Jams Friday. Right now, though, we are talking about consumer issues with Herb Weisbaum, who is an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. He has the website consumerman.com, and he visits us once a month, and it's always a pleasure. Hey, Herb.
Yes, Nick.
All right. A couple of texts came in during the break. 773 area code says, many years ago, I was the victim of check fraud. Someone had a similar account number as me and changed a 6 to an 8 with a pen. They were just guessing and got lucky. Thankfully, it was a small amount, and I caught it after the first one. I still can't believe this is happening.
So what did they change? The account number?
Yeah. They had a similar account to theirs. They changed a 6 to an 8, and they were lucky enough that 8 was correct.
Oh, well, I mean... Anything can happen. That's a little less sophisticated way than what we were talking about, but sure. Now, in that case, that's absolute fraud, and that's something that the bank should stand behind the client once something like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
What we were talking about is completely different. If there's some kind of fraud, if somebody forges your signature or does something like you're talking about here, that's check fraud. That's something that the bank should stand behind when there's a situation like that. But, yeah, there's all kinds of things they can do.
Yeah, they said this was many years ago, so clearly, the technology is a little bit different now.
Sure. Well, I remember when they used to wash the checks and change the numbers. I mean, that was years ago, but they could put in a solution, take the ink off, rewrite the check, and then deposit it.
Jeez.
That was something that Frank Abagnale, that's what he was working on.
All right. 847 area code says, does Herb think that criminals will target checks more now that people are using them less and people don't see them as often and therefore won't notice something different? That's a good question.
Thieves always target whatever they think is the easiest thing. They're like us. They don't want to work all that hard. And I think they're going to target wherever they think the vulnerabilities are. And a lot of people, despite we think we're in a cashless society or checkless, there's a lot of checks being written. And I think they know anything. There's a lot less digital checks and balances. It's paper. It's not digital at this point in time, where there can be some safeguards with digital things. So I think checks. Yeah, I think they'll be targeted for a long time to come. I think digital's growing too. There's all different levels of fraud and all different ways that they target us. I think we have to be on guard no matter what we do. But I don't think check fraud is going to go away anytime soon.
And how does it complicate check fraud now that people can just take a picture of their check with a smartphone and it's deposited? What are the challenges there?
Well, I assume the banks have to have some really good software. I mean, that's more of a challenge for the bank because you know how digital things can be manipulated so easily. I mean, I'm still in disbelief that they allow that to happen. But they obviously have enough algorithms or software in the background. And, sometimes they eat losses. We don't even know about it. But when they eat losses, in most cases, that means we eat losses because fees go up or interest rates go up.
That's the
ones who always wind up paying for it in the long run. But they must feel secure enough that they have enough safety protocols in place that they're willing to do it.
You wrote a piece about the top 10 complaints the top 10 consumer complaints. I would like to run down this list a little bit. Number one, and this is all from last year, so it's from 2016.
Yes, and these are from consumer agencies all across the country.
And were you surprised at all by this list? Is this sort of what you get almost every year?
Yeah, auto complaints were number one this year, and they were number one last year, and it's because there's so much money involved with auto transactions. There's so much to go wrong, and these ran the gamut from misleading advertising to having mechanical problems, a used car that breaks down shortly after you buy it, to faulty repair work, even towing disputes. So it's a very, very big category. But again, it was number one. The one thing, a couple suggestions I try to give tips with this article is read the sales contract before you sign it. You got to make sure everything matches up. Don't believe what the salesperson told you. Just make sure everything is there. When I bought my last car, hey, that number's not supposed. Oh, didn't we take that out when we wrote the final sales thing? You got to make sure of that. If you buy a used car, I don't care what they say, you want it checked out by an independent mechanic. Spend a couple of bucks to have it done. I don't care if it's a certified used car. I don't care if they tell you your mechanic, because once you buy that thing, it is yours as soon as you drive off the lot, and you want to make sure it hasn't been in an accident or it's mechanically sound. If you follow those two things, a lot of the car problems will be taken care of.
I got burned. About 20 years ago. Not 20 years, but 19 years ago.
Right.
I bought a car at a lot. It was a used car. Bought a car at a lot. Just had it. They looked at it. They said it was okay. And I brought it, and it lasted 2 weeks. The axle was broke.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I couldn't get a dime back.
I actually had a car that I took up on a lift, and it was literally two halves of two different cars put together.
Oh, my God.
Terrible soldering, and the car almost broke in half when it was up on the lift. And again, you know, if this person hadn't taken the time to have it checked by a mechanic, that was a disaster accident waiting to happen.
Oh yeah, we lost a lot. My ex-wife and I lost a lot of money on that car. It was a pain in the ass. It was terrible. Home improvement is second.
The car was not your wife.
No. Well, she is my ex-wife, Herb. So, a home improvement and construction is second on the list.
Yeah, and that's a situation where, you know, you never have somebody just show up at your door. Oh, we're in the neighborhood. Oh, we have some extra supplies. You want a couple of bids from contractors. You want everything written down in the contract. You want to make sure, I don't know what your state requires, licensed and bonded, that they check with references. You know, make sure that they can do their work, because a lot of people, and don't pay money up front. You want to pay as little money or anything up front. You want to hold out the last payment until they do the job. The serious problems are fly by night. They take the money supposedly to buy supplies. If a good contractor can't buy supplies, they're not a good contractor. They have credit just like you do. They can buy the supplies. And if they can't do that, they take the money, they run, they take off the roof, they go to buy supplies, they never come back again. You're left with no roof on the house. And you can't ever find them again. This can be tens of thousands of dollars of losses.
Wow. And then utilities comes in third. There's a lot of different that's under a pretty big umbrella.
Yeah, and a lot of that is, you know, a lot of states, I think yours, don't you have a choice of picking utility companies now?
Yes, we do.
And what the fraud is there is that they pretend that they're switching you or something like that, and that's where the people in states where that can happen now are running into. There's a lot of scams involved with picking your utility company, something we never had to do before. We still don't do that out here, and that's where people get into a lot of trouble.
And it's interesting because, you know, also phone and cable and internet all fall under that, and those – you know, like I've been doing a radio show for a lot of years, Herb, and those three areas, the cable, the internet, and the phone, I hear complaints about the services all the time.
Yeah, and sometimes it's unfair. I mean, they've gotten better. There's no doubt about it, and everybody resents paying the price for it, although they don't resent the price paying for the latte every day. But there are enormous amount of problems. It's one of those services that we just love to hate for some reason. No matter what they do, we just still don't like what they're doing. It's never good enough. We always expect technology to be better than what we, you know, if we're paying for it, it has to be better, and clearly there are problems, but we don't tend to cut those folks slack at all.
Yeah, and then retail sales comes in at four.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, everything from deceptive practices, you know, telling people false things about the products, not giving accurate descriptions on what's going on. A lot of problems with gift cards and gift certificates. You order the merchandise, it doesn't come. That's a whole range of problems with that.
Okay, and then five, we'll round it out at number five, is credit and debt.
And again, you know, a lot of this is fake credit repair. Nobody can clean up your credit if it's legitimate bad things on your credit report. There's all these debt relief services take your money and don't do anything for you. So there's a lot of real serious problems in that area with the credit and the debt. But again, it's one area where you just have to slow down and know who you're dealing with.
Right.
Don't trust anything that anybody says.
All right. And if people want to see this entire article and the list of consumer complaints, it's all at consumerman.com. Herb, always a pleasure. And we will talk to you next month.
It's fun. Thanks so much, Nick. And have a good clips.
Okay, thanks, Herb. Take care. Bye. There you go. Herb Weisbaum, everybody. He'll be back with us next month. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook, and you can go to consumerman.com. We'll take a break. News is next.